zahajujeme teď třetí panel, který jsme nazvali Euroatlantická spolupráce při obraně Evropy. Tento panel byl svým způsobem personálně dotčen tím, že naši hosté z zahraničí přiletěli o něco později. Takže se nám ta témata budou trochu prolínat. Nicméně je mi ctí tady uvítat jako prvního speakera generálporučíka Bena Hodgese, bývalého velitele pozemních sil Spojených států v Evropě, a zároveň mu dát slovo. Dear general.
So, Dr. Zajac, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the privilege to speak with you today. I come from North Florida, so my English is probably not actually as proper as yours. So I'll start off in a way that so you can calibrate. General Pavel understands my poor English quite well, but it took years of friendship to get there. And now the ambassador also begins to understand it a little bit. However, my British colleague will not understand me at all. So this will be an interesting panel. I think I have three broad topics that I would want to put in front of you today, and then including expectations that I think the United States has of our allies in the Czech Republic. But also I would want to give you my perception of what the threat is and why this matters. And then after my colleagues have spoken also, I would welcome any challenges or questions or help me understand what it is that we're talking about and what we're trying to accomplish. Number one, I'd want to make sure you're confident that the United States remains committed. That was when I was much younger, by the way. I am retired now, so just the United States remains committed to Europe. I know that my president has made it uncertain at times because of things he said about NATO or about the European Union, about European countries. But the facts on the ground are this. Number one, the economic relationship between North America and the European Union is five times more than it is anywhere else in the world. So even if not one European country spent $1 or €1 on defense, our economic prosperity and our stability and security depend on a stable, secure, and prosperous Europe. So we are always going to be connected with Europe and can't and won't turn away. All of our most reliable allies come from Europe, as well as Canada and Australia. We don't have the capacity to do anything by ourselves anymore. We may try, but in terms of serious, important, long-term camp military or otherwise, we have to have allies. And all of our most reliable allies come from Europe, so we're not going to turn away. The commitment of the United States, everything that was promised by President Obama at the Warsaw Summit in 2016 has been delivered during the Trump administration. Rotational forces, an American EFP, Enhanced Forward Presence Battle Group, which is in Poland, along with the British in Estonia, the Canadians in Latvia, and the Germans in Lithuania, led. We are putting all the equipment for an armored division back on the ground in Europe in storage in Netherlands, Belgium, Germany, and eventually in Poland. We'll have one brigade of equipment on the ground in Poland. These are all things that President Obama had promised, and President Trump is delivering that. And maybe even more important is the support from the Congress. You will recall that the Senate voted 98-2 just before the NATO summit in Brussels to affirm America's commitment to Article 5. 98-2. That you almost never get that sort of a majority in the U.S. Senate. So 98-2 affirmed America's commitment to Article 5. Now, there should never have been a question anyway. This is the first time in my life an American president ever questioned Article 5, but nonetheless, I wanted to reinforce the fact that the Senate affirmed that. The exercises have increased. You just saw Trident Juncture, of course. This is all part of America's commitment to stability and security in Europe. Now, you will recall that President Obama used this phrase, a pivot to the Pacific. In strategic terms, he was exactly right, that the coming threat, and this will be my second sort of main theme that I would want to address, choice of words, pivot to the Pacific, implies leaving one and going to the other, but that's not what happened. We didn't leave Europe. In fact, we've grown in Europe. But the fact is, Russia is our threat now, our collective near-term threat. But I think within the next 15 years, maybe sooner, I hope I'm wrong, but within the next 15 years, the potential for a military conflict with China, I think, is very real. And there's things that all of us can do together to help prevent it, but I think the potential is real. And so this is why the United States has emphasized so much increasing or strengthening the European pillar of our alliance. The United States does not have the capacity to deter Russia and be engaged in military conflict with China at the same time. In the past, we did. In the Cold War, we had the capacity to do what we call two and a half wars. Today, we can do one or the other, but not both. And so it's going to take a strong European pillar of allies and partners that are trained, ready, well-equipped, modernized to continue to deter Russia if the United States is engaged in a military conflict in the Pacific. Now, I want to emphasize, I don't think it's inevitable. It doesn't have to happen. I just think, based on watching the leadership of the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, the trajectory that they're on is what gives me so much concern. When you think about the artificial islands that they have created in the South China Sea in order to stake a claim on territory in this very important body of water. And even though President Xi had promised President Obama he would not put weapons on those islands, of course, everybody here knows that those islands are all weaponized now, militarized. So, and we had a Chinese ship just 3 weeks ago come almost ram an American ship that was out there in international water enforcing freedom of navigation, which, by the way, Czech Republic depends on. Every country in Europe, as well as the United States, depends on free trade moving through the South China Sea. So that's why I am uneasy about China. I'm uneasy about the investment in infrastructure that they're doing. Not because investment is illegal, but it's the way it's being done. It's the influence that they have achieved in so many different countries through debt and otherwise. And, of course, as you know, I mean, I'm an American visiting in your country, but Czech Republic is one of the countries that resisted an effort by the European Union to condemn China's human rights record. But Czech Republic is one of the countries that voted against that. So that's the kind of influence that we're talking about. And I think to counter what China is doing, you need, obviously, strong military, but also you got to have strong, connected economies. And the Chinese will fill any vacuum with economic investment if the West doesn't do it. I was in Belarus 2 weeks ago, and at the airport, everything is in Chinese. The biggest embassy in Iceland is the Chinese embassy. And it's not because Iceland has all of a sudden developed an affinity for Chinese culture and vice versa. It's because with the changing polar ice cap, China is investing well ahead of that. So these are the That's my concern. In the near term, Russia, and if you want to, during the question after this, I would welcome questions about why the United States has decided to leave the INF, the Intermediate Range Nuclear Force Treaty, if you want to discuss that, or anything else that we're doing, and what Russia's reaction might be. We can talk about basing where U.S. forces are and what allies are, and any question you have about that, I would be happy to lay out for you why the U.S. is doing what it's doing. But the third theme that I would want to address, and then I will hand over to my colleagues, is what should the Czech Republic be doing? What does the U.S. expect of its ally? What does the alliance need of the Czech Republic? First and foremost, you need to continue the work that General Pavel has started to increase the readiness of forces. Of course, General Pavel did that when he was here, and then when he was the chairman of the military committee for NATO, emphasizing improved readiness. That means modernization, but also units that are full and well-trained and can do their job. Readiness, and this is for the U.S. Congress also, is difficult to quantify. It's not a number you can put on it necessarily, because we're talking about how well prepared they are. There is a material component to it. You have to have the equipment, but it's also a mindset. Are you prepared to do whatever the mission is? All of us, including the United States, had transitioned to an expeditionary framework and system to generate troops to go to Afghanistan or Iraq. And so you have a large army that sends pieces of it on the mission. Well, that's a different mindset from if you have what you need now, which is a balanced force, a force that's capable of doing territorial defense, not just expeditionary to go somewhere else. So that means you have to have armored vehicles, you have to have artillery, you especially need missile defense, and it has to be integrated with the rest of the alliance. So this is an important transition, I think, that the Czech Republic has to make. And, of course, you need more. Article 3 of the Washington Treaty, which created NATO, also talks about self-defense. So do you have the right military for territorial defense? Now, many of you may be saying, in fact, many of the people walking outside may be thinking, why in the world would Russia ever attack? They're never going to attack. Now, I have not met one person that predicted that they would invade Georgia. I've not met one person that predicted that they would invade Ukraine. I have not met one person that predicted that what they're doing in Syria. And so I think making an assumption that, well, they would never do this, you will be in a very large group of people historically who have been wrong. And so the best way to make sure that they never do it is to be prepared. I mean, that's what deterrence is all about. And the best way to ensure we can deter a potential Russian attack is by an alliance that is like this, that is cohesive, and that is committed to each other, that is well-trained and ready. Now, will you put the map up, Prokop? I know some of you were wondering, why did I bring this map? Hopefully you can see it. I don't need to tell you where your country is located on the map, but if you look at it, almost everything that's in Germany or Western Europe that has to respond to a crisis in Eastern Europe has to come through Czech Republic. So that's why this issue of military mobility is so important. The ability of the alliance to move forces rapidly to prevent a conflict, so that if we recognize that Russia is preparing to do something or maybe threatening something, if we can move more quickly to get there before the crisis actually happens, then all of our political leaders in every country, you have some other options besides a liberation campaign into Lithuania or Czech or Romania. I mean, that's why this military mobility is important. That means you have to have infrastructure, roads, bridges, rail, tunnels that can accommodate modern equipment, a German Leopard tank or an American Abrams tank that's fully loaded is about 80 tons. So you imagine the bridges, how many bodies of water have got to be crossed, or the trafficability moving through mountains, what a challenge it is, or rail cars going through tunnels that have all this large equipment on them, that's a challenge. But yet, Czech Republic sits right in the middle of it. And then I'd also say there's a diplomatic aspect to it. When I was in Wiesbaden for 3 years, commander of U.S. Army Europe, we ran into a problem with the Czech Republic year after year after year, and that you have a law that says foreign soldiers cannot be here more than 72 hours. Well, when you look at that map, I mean, you're potentially in a crisis. There may need to be American, British, German, French, Italian soldiers here for an extended period of time to prevent a crisis. So I would ask this body to take a look at what military mobility is all about. The Netherlands is the lead inside PESCO, which I think is a positive development by the European Union that can improve cooperation and capability. But I would take a look at what the requirements are, and are there any restrictions that prevent your allies from being able to come here to assist or to pass through here to prevent? Okay, grateful again. I know this is a privilege to get to speak to a group of legislators from an allied country. I'm grateful for it, and I owe you the respect of direct language and also direct answers to your questions when the time comes. So I'll turn it over to whoever's next.